Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm going to talk to my man, Lenny McAllister, but I got to read Karen. Maybe the smartest person that emails me every day. Marty, she's African-American, if it's relative. Why do people move to communities they live in? Number one, schools. Number two, no crime. Number three, shopping. Marty, I am not moving into a community that does not have what I am looking for. The sad thing about it is that everyone does not have this opportunity. They have to move where they can afford to live, and most times these communities have issues. If the community that I currently live in starts going left, I cannot move to another community. Does everyone have this choice? No. She's right. Lenny McAllister joining us. Good morning, Lenny. How are you?
Good morning, Kintyre. How are you doing today?
One of the smartest men I know. Unbelievably talented talk host from the Commonwealth Foundation. Now he's the CEO of the PA Coalition of Public Charter Schools. He's conservative. Excuse me. It's an anomaly in this area. He's also African-American, and he's conservative, which I love. And he's honest as hell. I got to ask you a couple things. First of all, I was looking over the crime stats as we talk about George Floyd. An explosion in crime across America since his death. This is not the fallout we wanted, sir. This is not the change America wants, is it, sir?
No, it's not. But it's also, it's a bunch of things. It's not just a George Floyd tragic passing. It's that. It's some of the other incidents. It's the pandemic. It's the schools being shut down. It's 22 million people losing their jobs in March of 2020. It's the unemployment system in Pennsylvania breaking down in 2020. It's the presidential election. It's the January 6th insurrection. It's all of those things all at once. And unfortunately, when you have people that are already on the precipice of breaking, more often than not, those folks break. And I'm not shocked that the numbers have spiked over the last 15 months, but to your point, Marty, this is not the change we've been looking for, and I'm hoping that we can get things back on the right track sooner than later.
Lenny McAllister, so is the answer everybody go out and get a gun? In Texas, you don't need a permit, don't need a license, don't need training, no background check. The highest number of guns sold in history, sir. Good idea or bad idea?
I believe in the Second Amendment. I don't own a gun. And I do believe that, you know, if we've taken the approach that I'm scared, therefore I have to defend myself, right, and we think defense is just a gun, we're going down the wrong path. Self-defense is also education. It's also spirituality. It's also community. It's also the ability to collaborate, and it's the ability to inspire. And I think that too often we as scared Americans too easily grab towards what we consider might versus redefining what might is. So I'm not shocked that those gun numbers continue to go up, but I'd like to see us redefine what might is so that we can be mighty, but in a different type of way, so we can heal the country, not, you know, put us more on edge.
Lenny McAllister, the CEO of the PA Coalition of Public Charter Schools, joining me. Also fantastic, a talk host. Fantastic. Big talent. So, in Pittsburgh, 100% increase in violent crimes, 80% increase in homicides. 48 of the 52 homicides, African Americans. The argument is, I don't care. That's on them. I don't care. that's their communities. Is that the argument we need to stick with, sir? Is that healthy in America today?
Not if you're going to attract jobs, not if you're going to improve your schools, not if you're going to stabilize what Pittsburgh can and should be, and not if we're going to be a 21st century leader. You know, you have to look at these communities and say what needs to be remedied in order for us to have a more vibrant middle class. And we're, you know, we keep hearing the phrase, we're all in this together until, you know, criminal justice comes up or education or jobs, and then we find out how much together we're not really in this. We can't look at those statistics and just say, I live in Plum, you live in Homewood, that's your problem. We have to say we live in the Pittsburgh metropolitan area, and for employers to come in here and for our kids to buy homes here in 10 to 15 years, we have to straighten this all up. And so that approach is wrong. We have to look at this differently. We have to look at this more inclusively.
I got to get you through the break because I got to ask you about charter schools. Suddenly you're the bad guys, and the governor's coming after you again today. But I got to ask you about race. So we end up with, we win with, I was pleased to hear, we have an African-American mayor. First ever in this town, made history, making history. Does that mean Pittsburgh is no longer a racist city, sir?
We still got a long way to go. I mean, you know, we thought that we were post-racial and post-partisan after Barack Obama was elected in 2008. How's that worked out over the last 10 to 15 years?
Nice.
So we can't be fooled into thinking that one election is going to change the trajectory that we've been on for decades. We got to hope that the policies and the leadership and the togetherness coupled with key events get us in the right direction. But we can't be intoxicated in one election and think that that's going to get us over the hump. Intoxication has you going in the wrong direction, dizzy, and falling over on your face eventually.
Lenny McAllister, I'm an Ed Gainey fan, but he's more progressive, more left than the mayor was. I know you don't like that, do you, sir? You don't like that.
You know, I've known Ed since my freshman year at Central Catholic High School, where he was a sophomore. So I've known Ed for years. I can appreciate him as a person and as a history maker, but in regards to some of his policies, I really question whether or not it's going to help the people that he wants to help. So we'll see. Candidates are one thing, and then elected officials are different. He could be the same person as an elected official as mayor that he was as a state house rep, and there would be challenges with that in regards to fixing the economy and fixing some of the things he wants to go after. But again, he's still a mayor-elect. He's not a mayor yet, so let's take a breath and let's see what the actual policies are going to end up being once he gets into the city hall.
His observations on race are so astoundingly spot on. So Obama gets elected, the number of threats against him versus the prior president triple. And one of my boys in the Secret Service says, the racial slurs directed towards Obama, towards his wife, in public, while they were in office, disgusting. Some would argue that post-Obama and now post-Gainey, folks become more racist, sir. What do you say?
I think we saw with post-Obama that they became more open about it. Those that had those views were certainly more open to it. But it's a dichotomy, right, Marty? One side of the dichotomy is people are more open about their racism, and you're hearing more about it in the media, and you're seeing it more in your community when you see it. The flip side is there's no way a truly racist country would ever elect a black man with a Muslim name from the south side of Chicago. Doesn't happen. Doesn't beat Hillary Clinton in the primary, let alone win the general election against the war hero. Same thing with Ed Gainey. So you have to look at the dichotomy of where we are and then challenge ourselves as a society, or in this instance as a city, as to where we're going to go next. Not get caught up in the moment. Make it a true moment for history, not just a moment in time in 2021 or, you know, previously in 2008.
Lenny McAllister, honestly, one of the smartest men I know. He was an insanely talented talk host in Chicago. I got to ask you, though, about charter schools. They're coming after you big time. Can you hang, man? I gotta ask you about this. Can you hang?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just fascinating, and as luck would have it, I have my good friend Lenny McAllister with me, CEO of Coalition of Public Charter Schools. Right when, and I mean the minute I get a news release from the governor saying we need massive charter school reform, they're wasting our money, and they're going to make cuts to their funding if they can. saving school districts and taxpayers $400 million a year. Lenny McAllister, suddenly you're the bad guys. Why is that, sir? Why?
Well, number one, the governor continues to blame some of the most underserved kids in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for the woes of school districts that have been, in some instances, not managed properly for decades. People forget that the reason why charter schools came into existence is because black and brown students across the Commonwealth were underserved in school districts for decades, going all the way back to the public school code of 1949. This governor continues to focus on a law from 1997, but doesn't think that the law from 1949, which was written with the ink of redlining, should be addressed in any way, shape, or form. Now, what's disingenuous about this is the fact that the governor refuses to say that school districts collectively have over $4 billion in reserve before the pandemic and have had billions of dollars coming in from the federal government since the pandemic started. And they now want to turn and look to charter schools, a sector of our public school education. Charter schools are public schools. These are public schools where enrollment has gone up over 80% in the last decade. There's a reason why the enrollment goes up is because parents are finding satisfaction with these schools in a way they're not finding it with their school districts. And it's extremely just disappointing that a chief executive, a two-term lame duck chief executive, would continue to make scapegoats out of these children. I mean, it's basically just a wolf taking sacrificial lambs and throwing them to the wind when it comes to these type of things. And it's really trying to continue to see this governor not only blame these families and these students, but then do unlawful things such as disband his charter appeals board, which is directly contravening what the 1997 law does. This governor likes doing things outside of the Pennsylvania Constitution, and it's unfortunate that he's picking on those that can't fight for themselves, which is why the coalition's there, so we can fight for them.
The skyrocketing cost of charter schools is draining funding from traditional public schools. It's amazing. And forcing districts to raise property taxes. Not buying it, Lenny. Are you?
No, I mean, the costs are going up because, like I said, Marty, you got 87% increase in enrollment.
It's true.
There's a reason why that enrollment's going up. It's because those parents are looking at the school districts that they're in and they're saying, these schools have failed me, they failed my mom, they failed my grandmother. I'll be daggone if I'm going to let them fail Johnny and Jill for a fourth generation. So they're moving them over to schools, whether it's a cyber charter school or a brick-and-mortar charter school. You got schools like City Charter High School in downtown Pittsburgh that's been an award-winning academic institution in downtown Pittsburgh. Are you saying that we should be cutting money from that school? What about Urban Academy that was initially started by the Urban League? So you know they're taking an Afrocentric curriculum and making sure that black kids get the academic and developmental stability that they need, or Penn Hills Charter School of Entrepreneurship, that are teaching kids how to be business leaders in third and fourth and fifth grade. You're telling me to cut funding to those schools? That's what's disingenuous about what the governor is saying. And unfortunately, you would think that a term-limited politician would turn into a leader and not continue to triple down on bad politics. But that's what Governor Wolf wants to do, and that's the reason why the coalition has to stand with families and stand against some of these proposals.
By the way, it really is just a fluke that I had him here when that news release came out. But the timing is perfect, quite frankly. And
the governor's following me around, Marty. You should it is what it is. That's just kind of how it is right now. He's used to our segment laying down and just kind of getting punched in the nose. And, you know, what they're finding out is under my leadership and what we have with our coalesced charter community, over 170,000 kids strong, or roughly 170,000 kids strong, that we're simply not going to just sit back and take it anymore. We're going to stand up for our rights as Pennsylvanians and push for the best education and the best academic fit that these kids can get.
Hey, let's be honest, Lenny. This is two things. Number one, parents will not be forced to go to charter schools. They're getting the hell out of horrible public schools. That's a fact. Number two, and this is the truth, at the end of the day, this is teachers' union, sir, is it not?
I would, you know, you can obviously say that there's an education establishment element versus, you know, parental empowerment and parental choice that's going on. But I also want to say, Marty, that maybe because of the pandemic, there's an opportunity for the animosity, the toxic competition that I've been talking about throughout 2021, to start dying down, where we can start having some partnerships, we can start having some conversations so that we can start creating win-win-win scenarios where everybody can get something out of it, but we can still advance education for all kids, regardless of whether they're going to the local district school or charter school or elsewhere throughout the Commonwealth. So although I'm again displeased to see this governor continue to triple down on fraudulent information and bad policy, I'm also encouraged that I think people understand the value of life and the value of education during these last two school years. And I think that we can have some emerging partnerships moving forward and do some things that are historic in our own right moving forward.
Lenny, you're saying the governor's lying. That's what you're saying, right?
When the governor comes out in February and says that he doesn't even know how these cyber charter schools are even spending their money, when he knows full well that every single one of these schools has to do an audit that's accountable to their board,
right,
and accountable to their authorizers, whether it's the school district or the Department of Education, that are seeing how this money is being spent, yeah, that's disingenuous. You can call it what you like, but he either he's not doing his job the way he needs to when it comes to really being a fair arbiter with charter schools and everybody within public education, and he doesn't know what he needs to do, or he is picking one side of a narrative to try to pit people against each other. And at a time where we've had over 500,000 Americans die from this pandemic, that's not what a chief executive of a state should be doing.
Lenny, you're the man. You're the best there is. You're always welcome here, man. You can come back tomorrow if you want. Thanks, brother.
Hey, God bless you, and God bless Rob. Keep healing, my brother. I'll talk to you soon as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.